LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me team gon' get the power, it's the power. Power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. Power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me team gon' get the power, it's the power. Power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. Power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the
field. Huh? Huh? Let's freaking go. The best LSU football show on the planet, brought to you by the nooffseason.com network, NOPOD, and so many new partners that are coming along with PHL. Once again, if you want to join our network, grow your business, get involved with my brand, which not only includes this channel, but Power Hour SEC and Power Hour NFL, which has hit another level in the last couple of weeks, setting some viewership records for me. I just need your support, right? Even if you don't give me a dime, I love doing this, all right? I want to let you know, though, before I talk about Garrett Nussmeier with the Nuss bus still trucking right here, Jair Brown, Whit Weeks, Major Burns, the thumbnail. I had a brutal 24 hours. But right before I went live today, I'm always big about being open with you guys. At a brutal 24 hours, got some of the worst news I've ever received. That happened to a friend. And so please pray for this man. I got a text from my best friend in Egypt, who's watching right now. He was my college dorm mate, and he just had his first child. So it's amazing how you have the absolute worst news and then get the absolute best news right before we get here. So I just want to say I'm thankful for you guys. I don't start enough live streams just saying thank you to each and every one of you. Now, enough with all the mumbo jumbo. I want to show you a few plays that LSU football has released from their scrimmages, okay? And I want to start here with Major Burns. The poll question is up. If you're listening via podcast, please shoot me a message on Twitter or Instagram at PowerHourLSU. Do you want Major Burns, or should I say, do you believe Major Burns can be a successful nickel corner? In Blake Baker terminology, it's called the star. Do you believe? Okay. Now, let's be honest. Was this a really good pick right here by Major Burns? Yes, because every pick is a good pick. I also want you to notice the energy, okay? This really wasn't a thing last year, this togetherness that you see here after the interception. Every single coach, every single player, you even see walk-ons in there mobbing them, right? So you could see Major Burns is a fan favorite. Now, something else I do want to mention, and that's why I changed my name on the avatar here, the Nuss bus, I still believe, is going to truck through and have a really good season. But I have shared, and once again, I'm not at the practices. Obviously, I go on live every Monday with Blake. I know other people that are at the practices. They've been on the channel, Matthew Brune. But, you know, I know people that are at these things, right? I've been covering LSU for, you know, over a decade now. And they have all echoed a very similar sentiment that there have been some bad Nuss plays, okay? And as you can see, this is in the red zone. This is what we have been discussing for weeks now, right? It is my biggest concern about Garrett Nussmeier's game, by far, are the red zone interceptions, right? You see the end zone. You taste the end zone. And look, there are two schools of thought here. Maybe Garrett Nussmeier is trying new things out before the season actually begins here. Maybe he is experimenting, pushing buttons, which is fine to do in practice, right? So I'll be completely honest with you, all right? Was that a good play by Major Burns? Yes, but I am going to come in hot here. I don't love the idea of Jair Brown and Juwan Johnson being nickel corners in literally the year one of their LSU careers, right? Obviously, Jair Brown injury, you know, J.K. Johnson had the injury and he was still with LSU, but Jair Brown health has been partially an issue. He comes over from Ohio State, but he is from New Orleans. Jair Brown's had some good days. He has stacked. You hear this, the new cliche in football now, we got to stack days. We've got to stack practices. Jair Brown has had some really, really, really good days. And that excites me. And Juwan Johnson has had some really good coverage reps, sometimes going up against guys that are way bigger than him, sometimes going up against guys that are faster than him, while he is learning a new position. Like, it's a little bit different. Obviously, Major Burns hasn't really been much of a nickel corner in his career. However, what Major Burns would also tell you is he's been in the secondary forever. Juwan Johnson having really good days at practice is signal to me, okay? It just is. He's never really done this. You know, at LCA, he was the quarterback. Now, he also played defense. He played both ways. He did everything there. But now he's getting to fully focus in on being a defensive back. So Juwan Johnson was a guy who had a decent grade on. He was kind of middle in the pack for my class grades. But man, he's had a really, really, really good couple of days as of late. So is he going to have some growing pains? Sure. But Jair Brown is the name that you have to remember. And Major Burns, I'm interested to see how all of this is going to translate. But that was a really good interception, as you just saw. Now, we welcome in Chance, one of our longest time patrons, Kedrick, Epic Shorty, Dante, Zandell, David, the top PHLer, Jared, Blaine, lots of legendary people. Okay. Now, I want to let everyone know something, okay? I don't care if people troll me. I just don't. I get frustrated for my viewers because we have such a great community. Got a pretty good phone call about a, you know, potential opportunity in Vegas pretty soon. You know, I just do my thing. Am I the biggest LSU YouTuber out there? No. But I'll tell you this, I will be the most original and the most authentic that I could possibly be, okay? I don't mind trolls, okay? I just don't. Like I started this show, for those that missed it, it's been a really rough day for me, really rough day. And I just got the best news, like, right before about a personal friend. So we're all on the same page. But I hate when people come here and troll and brag about getting under somebody's skin. What does that do for anyone? I mean, I don't want to come on here. You guys are here for LSU football. That's what you're here for, okay? Unless something truly drastic happens to me, I'm always open. I'm not going to talk too much about anything else other than LSU football until we get later in the stream, talk NBA or whatever. But Nicholas, you did not rage quit Blake, and I didn't even watch it. You cannot rage quit that guy, all right? I understand that, and we've talked about it on here, on his show, whatever. We talk every single day. I talk to him more than anyone else that is not in my family. And it's about LSU football, sharing notes, talking about, you know, our shows, life, you know. But even if you did, congratulations. Congratulations. You deserve a badge of honor. Huh? 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 But this goes to all the trolls because they come in, right? You know, especially after Jaden had that rough second half versus Florida State. And now. You guys saw it. The people accusing me of hyping him up too much before the season. And he turned out to be okay. He was just okay. Not too great. But I guarantee you didn't rage quit him. And even if he did, who gives a shit? And I hate cursing early in the live stream. Not good for the algorithm. But there you go. Now, I want to get into, we talked about Garrett Nussmeier. I want to show you this as well, okay? I think there is a huge difference in how we view skill position players at time in the game of football, okay? So Mason Taylor makes a really good catch here, and Garrett Nussmeier, after throwing the pick, throws an absolute dime right here on Jordan Gilbert. I mean, you couldn't have thrown this football any better than this. Once again, all these clips via the elite media team at LSU football, okay? Can't beat this. Mason Taylor, who we know is really good in the red zone. Okay? I love Mason Taylor. I do, okay? I understand Tre'Davious Green is here. I understand Kamarion Pipton is getting better and better. And both of those guys are probably better receivers than Mason, okay? They just are in terms of catch radius and all that, because they're just athletic marvels. But Mason is still a very good receiver, okay? Okay? Now, where I believe he really makes a difference is if you actually sit, and once again, you have my film studies, you can go back and listen to this. You can go back and watch all our film studies and see this for yourself. The chemistry that Mason Taylor has with our offensive tackles is really, really good. Okay? Really good. Okay. So, there's extra equity with just having him on the field based on the run game. Highest run blocking tight end in all of Pro Football Focus's grading system in the SEC last year was Mason Taylor. Now, was there the crucial drop in the Alabama game? Yes. But outside of that, drop issues really haven't been there outside of really early in his true freshman season, where he was a three-star starting right out of the gate who wasn't there in spring, playing a very complicated position. Okay? So, truth be told, Mason Taylor is going to be really good for LSU this next season. Do I still think Tre'Davious Green is going to be a piece of what LSU does? Yes. Do I still believe Kamarion Pipton is going to be a big piece? Going to be a big piece. Yes. And his role obviously grows now that Mac Markway quit the team and left everyone high and dry. So there you go. Now, Nicholas decides to say, I have this crazy feeling that Carter likes to watch his beloved take BBC. Well, my wife is a fan of British culture, and she absolutely loves watching that network. And you have been banned. Once again. Now, if you had a face, I might actually have kept you around, right? It's always the letter avatars. Okay. Go to Aaron here. I should probably block more. If we're being honest. I should probably block more. Okay. I've actually had a few requests. Carter, you need to block more people. It is what it is. It is what it is. Being offended and trolled by the others is an American tradition. Ignore the holes. There's not a piece of me that is bothered at all. Right? The only people that are bothered by it is you. Okay. Now, there's Field Yates, one of my favorite football analysts, showing some love. And now we get to some Xavion Thomas propaganda. Okay? The truth to me is I still feel he is the second best receiver on this team behind Kyren. I know CJ Daniels and Chris Hilton are probably going to be more productive because, well, Xavion's still getting over a hamstring issue. But I'm telling you, he's good. He's really, really, really good. Now, was this against backups with the backup quarterback? Sure. But I do think Xavion Thomas is a really, really good football player. And if he is a returner, he's going to be very active in the return game. He caught 40 passes in a very splintered, poorly coached Mississippi State offense. And I'll be honest. Okay. I'll be honest. A lot of those catches were really difficult. Okay. These weren't little swing screens that he was catching. There are really high level catches. So, you know, I'm still a big Xavion believer. And I would be shocked if anyone cracks the top four on this team in receiving. Okay. CJ Daniels, Chris Hilton, Kyren Lacy, Xavion Thomas. Okay. Now, is there still Aaron Anderson out there? Yes. I have heard really good things about Aaron Anderson. I've seen some practice clips of Aaron Anderson. All right. So, look, do I like Aaron Anderson as a player? Yeah. But last year, statistically and efficient-wise, he was the lowest yard-per-target receiver on the team. So, we'll see how he turns out. The one thing I do like about Xavion Thomason and Aaron Anderson is that both of them are entering year three of their college development. And that's where we normally see their biggest, you know, increase or a player's biggest increase is from, you know, year two to year three. So I don't think we've seen their maximum, right? I think CJ Daniels won't have the same numbers he had at Liberty because that's going to be impossible. He was one of the best receivers in college football last year. But his numbers are still going to be good next year. We know he's going to be good. We know Kyren Lacy's going to be good. All right. They're both getting better. But the year two to year three jump is a very real thing. Okay. Let's see. Yes. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, Roy Kent. I call him Trevor Penning because Carter couldn't block me if he tried. JK, JK, JK. Mm. That's good. That sounds like more of a Jared Addison YouTube thread of it. That's really good. That's really, really, really good. Now, Brian's a dude. You love the West Bank, bro. Still the best crawfish etouffee I've ever had in my life. Shout out Miss Template was in the West Bank. There's three last names in Louisiana that automatically means a family can cook. All right. It's Template, Bergeron, and LeBlanc. All right. If your last name is Template, Bergeron, or LeBlanc, They got a mean etouffee in that pot. If that is your last name, that is not your hard work that earned you that. It's God given, right? You have the same genetic as freaking Emerald. All right. Now, last person I want to talk about. The second name in the title of the video. Okay. Second name is Whit Weeks. Now, I want to talk a little bit about something called contingent upside. I mentioned it on MIS yesterday. I'll talk about it here. Okay. So what does contingent upside mean? Well, it's actually a fantasy football term. It's when a player gets hurt, what is your upside relative to other people in the field? So, for instance, I do a lot of fantasy drafts. A lot. I've done probably close to 1,000 in the past year. And Jahmyr Gibbs, the starting running back for the Lions, just got hurt. So he might miss time. So that raises the price to draft David Montgomery. He gets drafted earlier, right? That's how that works. All right. Supply and demand. You guys understand it. All right. So real contingent upside is if you are a really good backup, all right, if you are a really good backup, which Whit Weeks is a starter-level backup, and Blake Baker mentioned as much. We won't play his press conference. It's really good. If you want to listen to the full press conference, we talked about earlier. And there you go. TJ with the super chat here. Okay. He wants to talk about Aaron Anderson and Xavion Thomas. This is been a debate. Got into an argument, you know, at the time when I said, we'll get into that in just a second, TJ. But I know TJ's a big Whit Weeks fan, so I'll finish this. I think Whit Weeks is a little undervalued right now. Okay, I think he's a little undervalued on this team. There is a higher likelihood of him playing a whole hell of a lot this next year than we would like to realize. And what I mean by that is I think at this point, LSU has three playable Division I starter level off-ball linebackers: Greg Penn, Harold Perkins, and Whit Weeks. Now, those three positions are not the same. You know, you got the Mike and you got the Will. All right. And Harold Perkins has gained the proper weight and so on and so on. Y'all, Whit Weeks is really freaking good. He is really freaking good at football. You know, you have to deal with the foot gash and some people want him to play more. And then, you know, I am a big believer. If you show me something freaking early, like straight out of the womb, you're good. Well, what happened versus Mississippi State? He went out there and made plays. And once again, as we mentioned a minute ago with Xavion, Mississippi State was terrible. They were predictable. We beat the crap out of them. It was the first big Jayden game of the season. But Whit Weeks was flying around making plays. And I understand, like, his biggest camp highlight is Caleb Jackson running him over. Hell, he made the play. I don't give a damn. The fact that he is that fearless and even that athletic to get out there and make that play is incredible. I think he's one of the top five most athletic people on the team. And I think if for some reason, God forbid, Greg Penn or Harold Perkins go down, he immediately becomes one of the most important LSU defensive pieces in the entire defense. Okay? So count me in on Whit Weeks being a huge piece. Now, what would be really cool is if Wes Weeks came along and showed some really good off-ball linebacker reps next year. He's currently rotating in with that in that second linebacker group, him and Whit. That's pretty cool. And I still love Xavier Debo Atkins. Personally, I do because, you know, it used to be power and thickness and being a thumper mattered more at linebacker than like sideline to sideline speed. Now it is infinitely more about sideline to sideline speed. And Xavier Debo Atkins could be the fastest linebacker on this team. Now I think Harold Perkins got him, but still. So, man, I'll be real. I'll be real, man. Do not sleep on Whit freaking Weeks. Now, TJ sent a chat here, and I really do appreciate you, TJ. Appreciate your friendship. A DJ TJ's wedding a few months ago. One of the best experiences of my life. Getting a few more bookings. I want to DJ more in Baton Rouge, too, at weddings. So if you're interested, hit me up. I'd love to do it. Okay. He asked you, what are the differences in Aaron Anderson and Xavion Thomas? Okay. It's basically it. Is it, he says, what separates the two when it comes to route running and all those different things? Okay. So, one thing, and Jared, thank you for your super chat as well. Okay. Shorty saying LSU is going to go undefeated. So, let's go to the beginning when they were both in high school. All right. I was in the middle of Aaron Anderson, and you can go back and watch the live streams at the time. Bama fans started coming into my to my live streams, and I was going nuts that Aaron Anderson jumped Emory Jones, jumped Walker Howard, jumped Will Campbell in the recruiting rankings. I was like, what the hell? This is the worst Bama bump I have ever seen. And on my board, there is 1,000 tweets about this as well. I have a more organized board. I keep it all on Patreon. You can look at every single grade, whatever. I also rank my favorite Louisiana prospects, okay? Because I want to put myself in the shoes of LSU because they're obviously going to recruit Louisiana before they do anything else. And you got to remember that wide receiver class was Shaz Preston, Kendrick Law, who I think is going to be pretty good this year in Alabama. But Preston, I thought was a little overvalued. And then Aaron Anderson, was he really good? Yes. Is he probably the best high school punt returner I've ever seen? Probably so. But Xavion Thomas was more athletic. He had more burst. He had more speed. He played quarterback. And I remember, I didn't really watch Xavion Thomas. Someone jumped in to the Chad. I got to ban another person. Okay. Someone jumped into a Twitter chat that I was doing. And it was Xavion, one of Xavion Thomas's coaches. And I think Pooh Bear was in there and someone else. One of these assistant coaches of where Xavion Thomas played was like, y'all, Xavion Thomas is the best wide receiver in the state of Louisiana. And I'm like, dude, you're lying. You're lying. I don't remember the guy. I remember this vividly. So I watched him, and my jaw was to the floor. And immediately, he moved up number three. He was a number 15 ranked player in Louisiana. He moved up to number three, okay? Emory Jones, Will Campbell, and then it was Xavion Thomas as my number three guy. And I have just always loved this guy. And he wanted to come to LSU last year. But LSU went and got Aaron Anderson from Alabama. And it makes sense. You know, Aaron's a talented guy. Nick Saban loved him. He's very talented. He just is, right? But it's the burst. It is the freaking burst, man. Xavion has got freaking juice. And it's one of those things where once you see it, you can't unsee it, right? And that happens to me quite a bit. You know, I'll watch a higher tier guy and be like, okay, I really don't think it's going to work out. That you go to my grades from last year, two of those things actually happen. But you know, as far as now is concerned, what I will say, TJ, all right, Roy, thank you for the super. Grant wants to talk about the number 13 ranking. Let's see. Also want to shout out Kedrick. He super chatted me in a live stream not too long ago, and my alerts were off on Cash App. But I will say Aaron Anderson's had a really good week, too. He's had a really, really, really good week of practice. He has been cooking some people. He is still really talented. But, and Trent, thank you for a super chat as well. I think Xavion's going to blow some minds this next year. Okay. I really, really, really do. And it's going to be hard because Chris Hilton, you know, summer's in, Chris Hilton's having a just as good a camp as Kyren Lacy. And then CJ Daniels is more proven than practically anyone just based on production, even though it was at a lower level. But Xavion Thomas in a crappy Mississippi State offense, 40 passes. Vanderbilt's backup was their quarterback starter last year, 40 catches. Okay. True freshman, made a ton of crazy plays. Punt return touchdown versus Georgia as a true freshman. Okay. Like with Wood Weeks. If you see someone do some really athletic stuff as a true freshman, and they're going up against, especially nowadays, year five and year six guys, boy, that means the dude can play. That means he can play. All right? Now, different people develop at different speeds, right? Like, it is amazing how much better Chris Hilton was than what he was younger in his career. He's far more polished and well-rounded. But normally, if you show me something as a true freshman, you're probably a really good football player. Now, sometimes it doesn't work out in the long term. There are many LSU players that have really good true freshman seasons and didn't continue. Actually, there's not really that many. But the truth still remains the same. All right. Productive guy in the best situation, best quarterback of his career. Xavion Thomas is going to freaking ball the frick out. Okay. Now, coming up next, Grant wants my thoughts on the number 13 ranking. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. At LSU ranked number 13, I'm fine with it. You know, it's interesting. Every single ranking has LSU in the 13s, right? That's pretty normal. I'll pull up the full AP poll. I try to not give it the AP poll too much weight because I don't want to just do hacky stuff. And, well, the AP poll is definitely that, right? It's normally somewhat predictive, but still, okay? So, let's take a look at the AP top 25, and we'll go through this together, okay? And then we'll get into Sibley Super Chat. I appreciate you. Sibley has become a really good friend of mine, as is Roy Kent. Georgia, number one. Agreed. Ohio State, number two. Agreed. Number three, Oregon. Agreed. Number four, Texas has lost two of their best running backs already for the season. I'm fine with putting Texas number four, especially with their defensive issues. This is Alabama's lowest AP ranking preseason in a very long time. And they're number five. That's how good of a program they've been. Ole Miss, number six. I'm perfectly fine with that, especially with how they're going to start the year. Notre Dame at number seven. Riley Leonard, new quarterback. Would I say Notre Dame at this point is better than LSU? I can't quite get there. Ole Miss, yes. Notre Dame, no. Penn State, better than LSU, no. Michigan, better than LSU, no. Florida State, better than LSU, no. I'm not going to rank someone with DJ Uiagalelei and all the players that they lost last year. Fabian Lovett out, Braden Fisk out, Jared Verse out, Renardo Green out, so on and so on and so on that defense. We didn't even talk about Keon Coleman. We didn't even talk about Trey Benson. We didn't even talk about Jordan Travis. We didn't even talk about the other wide receiver, that 6'12", Johnny Wilson. DJU, has he ever been good? Has he? I know a lot of people are expecting like a Bo Nix type of career trajectory. Former five-star who starts pretty early and ends up not being that good. Can't get there with Florida State. Missouri, I'm fine with. Very easy schedule, so their AP ranking will be about there. And we get Utah here. We're talking about this game actually in our Discord. Big shout-out to Emil. Go to patreon.com/LSU Football Center for our Discord. The link is the first link you see in the description if you're listening or viewing this. And Utah's got a tough game versus Arizona actually early in the year. Okay. Now, this is where it gets even spicier. All right. If we're going to talk about rankings, let's talk about the teams that are behind LSU. All right. Is Clemson better than LSU right now? I would say they're probably about even. Okay. Clemson, I think the Nate Wiggins loss is going to be a little bit bigger than people think. I love Nate Wiggins. I tweeted about him not too long ago. That was a guy that we had committed to our class, and we lost him. And you wonder why recruiting is a big deal. If we have Nate Wiggins, we probably win one extra game because we really just needed one good corner to at least stop a single soul. Tennessee, I actually would put ahead of LSU at this point. I'm really bullish on Tennessee, okay? LSU does have a quarterback experience advantage over Tennessee. They also have the way better offensive line. The LSU also has better receivers. Are they infinitely better than Tennessee's receivers? Probably not. But Tennessee, same offensive structure, very similar coaching staff, a lot of continuity. They bring in a really good piece in Lance Hurd, who I think is going to be pretty good for them this year. And yet, Lance has been on the channel. This is a hand to the Bible moment. All right, you guys know I'm as authentic and as open as I can. I have not spoken to Lance Hurd since the day I interviewed him. Okay, I actually take that back. A few DMs here and there, but still, I think Lance is going to be a good fit there. Is LSU better than Oklahoma? I think Oklahoma is a little overvalued. LSU better than Oklahoma State? Yes. Oklahoma State, very experienced. Probably the most experienced RB, QB combo, Bowman and Gordon. Gordon's a really good player. He is the first pick in all fantasy college football drafts. Oklahoma State schedule is kind of weird, though. You know, they start the year playing the South Dakota State Jackrabbits, all right? That might not win that game. South Dakota is the number one overall FCS school, and Oklahoma State lost one of these games last year. Is LSU better than Kansas State? I think Kansas State's sneaky good with Avery Peterson at quarterback. Miami, I'm fine with. I think Chris Ball is the worst in-game coach of the top 15 recruiter coaches. A&M, I think, is undervalued. I do like them. Arizona, best QB wide receiver combo probably in the country with Noah Fifita and Tet McMillan. Kansas, obviously, Jalen Daniels back. And it's going to be a number 13 versus number 23 USC season opener game. North Carolina State and Iowa. So is 13 fair? Yeah, I think it's fair. Every year, one team in the preseason top 10 ends up being unranked at the end of the year. So we're bad at predicting this stuff. We are. Is 13, I think, about where LSU should be? Sure. Because there are some teams I think they are better than. and there are some teams behind them. I actually really did like a lot of those teams in that 14 to 20 range, as you could tell. Okay. So there you go. Now, I go back to Roy's super chat. I appreciate it, Roy. So this is how long TJ's been rocking with the. I'll tell you this, Ann. You know, let's just say LSU makes a playoff and makes a run. This might be the best, like, true freshman class they've ever had. Not the best class they ever had. 2017's class will never be beaten at LSU. Never. I really believe that. In terms of production. I'm not saying this next class won't be better. It could be better, especially on the top end. But the hit rate on the 2017 class was crazy. But one thing that really did help Brian Kelly out a lot is not only was his first recruiting class, 2022, good, they were instantly good. And it is kind of crazy, like, how hard it is to be good at college football as a true freshman, especially during the COVID era where you had a bunch of year five, year six guys. And LSU had multiple, like, 18, 19, 20-year-old guys immediately help this team. And not just help this team, but immediately become some of the better players in the SEC right when they got there. And now you're getting year three out of five guys that have produced in the SEC as true freshmen. Xavion Thomas, as we mentioned, and then, of course, Emory Jones, Will Campbell, and Mason Taylor and Perk. Okay. Let's go to Sibley. In your opinion, which SEC team has the best pure talent? Guys who could change a game during crunch time. His top three, Bama, Ole Miss, and Texas. Would I include the Tigers? Okay. Georgia's the best team in the SEC. I do have some concerns about Georgia. You know, the Cedric Van Pran loss is a big deal. So how do they recover from that? We'll see. I also think Georgia's wide receiver room is one of the more overrated wide receiver rooms. Okay? You lose Ra-Ra Thomas because he's an idiot. And I think my opinion of Dominic Lovett is different than the opinions of a lot of different people. Okay? I don't think he's that great. I really don't. But Carson Beck is sensationally good at ball placement. Dylan Bell is a wide receiver he has a lot of chemistry with. But once again, you lose Cedric Van Pran. You lose Amarius Mims, who actually ended up being my highest-rated Georgia player in the draft last year, and he just got hurt perfectly because they need him to protect Joe Burrow. He gets hurt. Oh, yeah, they lost Brock Bowers, Ladd McConkey. I'm not saying Georgia doesn't have the talent. It's just I do think their skill guys are a drop-off. I do. They did upgrade at running back with ETN, but Kenneth Milton didn't suck. And there you go. Defensively, Georgia's going to be really good, though. Georgia's going to be really good defensively. Mikel Williams is a real freaking deal, okay? Smail Munden, if he gets his act together, solid inside linebacker. So you put in Aguero, a bunch of other members of that secondary. This is a really talented defense. So in terms of talent, I still have Georgia number one. Alabama would probably be, just in terms of talent, number two. But even then, you know, my opinion on Bama drastically changed when Caleb Downs left. Because Caleb Downs is that much better than every single safety to me in the SEC coming back next year. I'm glad he went to Ohio State. He's that good. He's a good football player. But, you know, outside the SEC, Ohio State has to be, like, it's either Ohio State or Georgia for me as the two best teams. Okay? So, I'll be honest with you, Sibby. I don't know if I can get there with Texas. I don't. Is Isaiah Bond good? Yes. But ultimately, it was like 600 yards of production. Nyblack at tight end is a good piece. Wide receiver is a little bit of a mystery. Okay? Does Jonte Cook step up and be that guy? We'll see. We'll see. As you know, Sibley, I'm not a huge Quinn Ewers guy. Just not. I think he's okay. I think Quinn Ewers is okay. And offensive line, you know, you have Kelvin Banks. That group should be pretty good. They're well coached. And Sark should be pretty good next year. Obviously, you know, Sark's had an offseason, as you know, many of you know, as he goes through a personal divorce. I hope that doesn't distract him because he is one of the best play callers I've ever seen in college football. He is an artist, right? The 2020 Bama team, the play calling was so unfreaking believably good. How do I know the play calling was so freaking unbelievably good? They made Mac Jones the highest QBR quarterback ever in college football, which is why stats can be misleading. He is not the best college quarterback in a single season. And it was a 2020 COVID year. But still, Mac looked unfreaking believable. Sark's a really good coach. I do think the defense downgrades, though. All right? When I was going through my evals, I try to not let the Bo Davis thing get in my way. And obviously, you know, I'm a big fan of Bo. Big fan. He's a big loss for them. Right? He is a big, big, big loss for them. Because, you know, the two DTs that got drafted early from Texas were not blue chips. I mean, they weren't can't miss top 100 guys. He developed these guys, and you lose that. And the Texas secondary was brutal. So I don't know if I can get there. Ole Miss, I could see it. They probably don't have the same blue chip depth as some of these other schools that we mentioned. But with their first unit, I think their offensive line is okay, but Lane's play calling really does a good job of mitigating that. Jackson Dart, I think, is obviously really good. And then you look at their running back room. It's a fun group. Ulysses Bentley is a guy you can easily cheer for. And they do have Logan Diggs. And I do not wish Logan Diggs the best. I don't, because we play him this year, and you transfer to a team that, you know, we lost to. And that's it. That nerd, Peter Pan, is really high on the USC receivers, says Blanche. Thinks they might hit, they might have one of the best of three in the country. When is the breakdown on USC? I'm glad you called me out on this, Blanche. I normally don't reach my, put out my opponent breakdown until the week before. I do want to share something, though, with all of you listening today, all right? All of you. All right. I agree. I know I trashed Florida State a minute ago. I know I did. Okay? Y'all, they beat us in New Orleans. And then the next year, they fielded the second best team in college football. All right? Georgia was the best team in college football. They just got hurt, and Alabama, Nick Saban is the only coach that can beat Kirby Smart. He's the only one, all right? Nick Saban coached one of the best games of his life, switching up the coverages in that game. And Georgia had a lot of injuries. But outside of Georgia, Florida State was the second best team in college football at full strength. I think Florida State beats Michigan. I think Florida State beats anyone that was in the playoff. I really do think so. Really only Georgia and Jaden Daniels with a competent defense would have beaten Florida State last year. I truly do believe that. And you played them 2 years in a row with going up against a year 5 and a year 6 quarterback. Let me repeat, a year five and a year six quarterback. Great offensive lineman, great trench play. We caught Florida State in the best 2 years since the Jameis Winston era. Okay? Now, and I know this will get under a lot of your skin here because, you know, we tend to focus on us. What I would tell all of you is you're getting USC not at their lowest point. This isn't, you know, the Helton years. But USC is in a piece of ambiguity, okay? They probably would not have thunk going into year three, the Lincoln Riley era, that they would be number 23 in the AP poll. Now imagine this. Imagine a few years ago when the Lincoln Riley era started, I told USC fans, hell, you're going to be ranked behind Kansas. Yeah, you're going to be ranked behind Kansas. You're going to be ranked behind not only Kansas, but Kansas State. Do you think USC fans would be happy on the return on investment? Do you think that they would enjoy seeing a team that perennially beats them every year, Utah, be 12 spots ahead of? So up to this point, with a generational quarterback, USC has far underperformed expectations in a weaker conference. Okay? So I say all of that because, yes, it is a big deal, as Blanche points out, with Lemon, Zachariah Branch, Deuce Robinson, lots of five-star level receivers and stuff like that. Their receivers are good. Their receivers are good. They got one of the best transfer running backs. We know him pretty well, Woody Marks. Okay. We're catching USC at a good time. Okay. Lots of uncertainty. Imagine if the first game of the Blake Baker era was against Caleb Williams. So we're getting them in a good spot. And as much as we as college football fans, and I'm noticing this because my SEC channel does well. My NFL channel right now is doing really well. NFL is very national. Like, there are a lot of fans that care about the other teams because of fantasy and a lot of different things. College football tends to be very regional. We are very insular of our teams. Like, we keep up with Alabama and some of the other SEC channels, and I appreciate you guys supporting the SEC channel. But the truth is, college football fans are very team-centric, right? It's hard to have a huge national college football following. And so it makes what Josh Pate did really impressive and so on and so on. And it actually should be the opposite. Like, when it comes to college football, we should care as much about the teams that you play than the team itself, if that makes sense. So, yes, LSU is playing a difficult season opener closer to USC's territory in Vegas. But this USC team is not nearly stratospherically as good as these Florida State teams that LSU has played the last couple of seasons. Is that an excuse for LSU getting their ass kicked in year two and in year one versus Florida State? Probably one of the worst, you know, Brian Kelly coach jobs he's ever done. He'd probably tell you the same thing. Yeah, it sucks that you ran into the Florida State buzzsaw, but USC's just not on their level. It's not even close, really. So, should we be worried about USC's receivers going up against these DBs that we've talked about quite a bit? Yeah, we should be. But this team is, like, not good. I mean, like, think about this. Will Campbell's first ever collegiate rep was against a guy who is a first-round transfer to the Los Angeles Rams. Okay? That team is good. It is so hard to play a very good team in week one. All right. Let's go to here. The Anton Lynn runs a complicated defense. There's no way the defense will be ready.
Okay.
Are you saying there's no way? Oh, you're saying USC's defense won't be ready.
Okay.
This will be something that we discuss, a little bit more in detail. I do hate the fact that, I'm not able to go to LSU practice, but I like to go, sure. There's also a piece of me that likes, not going because I'm able to be a little bit more productive and all the things I have to do to keep things running here. With that said, though, I'm having to rely on information. I'll read practice reports. I'll talk calls. I'm on the phone a lot just talking LSU football. And one thing I have picked up on is there have been some exotic pressures that have forced some mistakes. And the Anton Lynn is really good at simulated pressures. Now, Blanche's point is a good one in that it's hard to really time those pressures well if you haven't played a whole lot together. I think timing is a little more important on offense, but I do agree overall, Blanche, it's a good point. This is one of the biggest games of DeAnton Lynn's career. And there's a lot of pressure. You go from UCLA to rival USC. So we'll see. Oh, Kirby. Kirby's going to fall down? Sylvie, I don't know, dude. Kirby Smart. I don't know. Oregon beat Kirby stupid twice? Oh, what game are you talking about? Coach O, it's 2-0 versus Kirby. So, Sibley disagrees. He believes that Texas is deep at all positions. Okay, I get down. Okay. How do I rate the UGA Race Car League? Here's the thing. I understand being a dumb college student or whatever. Amicat says he expects DeAnton Lynn to simplify their defense and play 2D, bend and not break style. So there you go. Okay. Now, let's go to Pegasus. Carter, I've been hearing DJ Chester had a few struggles in him and Dele swap positions. Is it a concern yet? Yeah, so DJ Chester is a year two center who played tackle in high school. There are going to be some tough games. And I know that concerns us because, LSU's center play, last year, let's call a buck here. Charles Stern was really good. He was just a really good football player. Did he struggle versus a bull rush? Yes, but his snaps were good. And, obviously we went through the Liam Shanahan, thing, and you guys know the rest. It was tough. So LSU's not had just, marquee center since Cushenberry, okay? So now you need DJ Chester as a year two guy to be the guy. I think he can get there. I do. Because Dellinger's a really good guard. Miles Frazier's a really good guard. We know the tackles are great. We know the tight end's great. So I think DJ Chester is going to be fine. Are there going to be some rough games? Yes. Will more than likely one of those happen on the road? Probably so. Okay. As long as you snap the football accurately, we can get through it. Now, Garrett Dellinger has been working some at center. That is indeed true. I could confirm that. You could actually see the practice videos for yourself. Do I like that? No. Because Gary Dellinger is a damn good left guard. He is really, really, really good. And I do not want him playing center. The snaps versus Florida State were not great. And it was a big reason why in 2022 we lost that game. But I'm okay with trying it out. And I also think LSU is doing some rotation there, Pegasus, because if DJ Chester were to go down, your backup center is Cohen Echols, a true freshman out of Texas. Okay. So do you want a backup center being a true freshman? Your top backup? You know, that ended up being the case for LSU, but that was because Marlon Martinez struggled when he stepped in for Charles Turner in that Missouri game. So DJ Chester has SEC game, high leverage experience versus Missouri. That's a plus. He had some rough snaps in that game, which is expected. But Jaden was Super Saiyan, so it didn't matter. Now, I'll tell you this. Athletically, Chester is definitely it. And this is one of the highest blue chip ratio offensive lines we've ever had. So let's keep it going. Once again, I'm going to do it next 10 to 15 minutes. We will keep the chatter going. If you do super, we'll talk all night. You guys, I can go until 2 in the morning. I don't really give a damn. Epic Shorty in here. I've heard a lot about LSU's defense being much improved this season. Lots of videos of Nuss throwing the balls away. So I know you joined a little bit later. We showed the really bad Garrett Nussmeier interception versus Major Burns. And because you supered earlier, I'm going to play it again. Okay. Yeah. Is there concern? Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. And I'm a big Nuss guy. I'm a huge, huge, huge Nuss fan. But do we think there could be major turnover issues this next year? It can happen. It could really, really, really happen. Okay. So here it is. Make sure the volume's off. It is off. And Gary Nussmeier stepping up. And one thing you should never do, all right, I'll slow-mo it here, is especially in the red zone, is step up into the pocket, look left, and then not even really think about it. On your off foot, throw across your body to the other sideline. I mean, Rob Gronkowski's not catching that. You know? So, yeah. That happens. Am I worried about it? Yeah, like I said. Do I still think Garrett Nussmeier is going to be really good? Yes. I do think it'll be more in the, like, 325, 3-touchdown, 2-interception kind of good. Right? Where that's still a good game, but yeah, you know, you have some picks, and you got to be ready for it. It's going to be volatile. Let's see. So we're about an hour in. We'll fade into some different topics here. Shout out to the ladies' basketball team. They get back safely from Greece. Nothing really on the baseball front. Is there? Oh, yeah, we talk Saints. But we do get a super. So Andy wants to keep it going. Love the show, but I appreciate you, Andy. I'm going to need you all season. Everybody, welcome Andy Alexander to the channel. I think this is the first time we've ever commented. If you have before, I'm sorry. It's a lot harder for me to remember the letter avatars. So I always like seeing your beautiful faces or avatars. All right. So, yeah, first thing, Andy, big shout out to Craig Steltz. You know, he's not really a public guy, but he went to the Pro Football Hall of Fame ceremony for Devin Hester, his teammate. Craig's just an awesome teammate. And one of my pretty solid friends from high school was actually his teammate in Chicago. So there's a photo of the two together. I've never met Craig, but man, what a Tiger. And then obviously Chad Jones is the ultimate LSU Tiger. Baton Rouge, two-sport athlete, aura, that's a new word nowadays, just straight aura, single-digit number in both baseball and football. Can tear your head off and throw 90. No, yeah. I mean, if those two guys were our safety right now, safeties right now, we would probably be a top 10 team. So, big shout out to both of them. And shout out to you, Andy. Everybody, welcome Andy to the channel. Okay. Now, this is an open invitation. Josh Pate just tweeted me. Open invitation. I'm a Pate State guy. One of his good friends is one of my good friends. I don't know Josh that well. Okay. And he's doing this gas station recruiting thing. Okay, this is just, the guy just gets it. He gets college football. Obviously, you know, you don't think I hate the guy because I flamed him for his program rankings on my SEC channel. I don't know if I'm Pate State material, but he's doing a gas station recruiting war. Okay, and these are his bottom, or these are his top four. So, I don't know if you saw this today. Pilot bought the non-naming rights, or was it Flying J? Let me see. Let me make sure I get this right. Okay, no, it is Pilot. All right. So, it was Pilot. All right. So I don't know if you saw this today. Pilot bought the non-naming rights of Neyland. All right. So the way it normally works with these stadiums, they just sell to the highest bidder. So the Mercedes-Benz Superdome is now the Caesars Superdome. Every arena, or 90% of like major arenas, have a sponsorship. College football is not really like that. So, Neyland in Tennessee announced today that Neyland Stadium will remain Neyland Stadium. But instead of it saying Neyland Stadium brought to you by Pilot J, they're saying Neyland Stadium preserved by Pilot. I said Pilot J. So, look, I'll be real. I get down with the Pilot. I love a good Quick Trip. They actually open. I drive to Ruston all the time. I love freaking Ruston. They built a new Quick Trip in Ruston, and man, it was good. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, where is Buc-ee's? You know, Buc-ee's is not a gas station. Let's be real. It's not a gas station. Anyone that sits here and tells you that, I would have been more pissed at Pate if he included Buc-ee's in this list. Buc-ee's is not a gas station. All right. The one thing and you can love Buc-ee's. You can flat out love Buc-ee's. All right. They do not allow truckers. Now, you have to be a TJ Reed, a Jared Addison, a Kedrick. You would have to be someone that's been with me for years now. I go on these random tangents later in the live streams and all that. Truckers are probably my favorite professions. It's probably my favorite, like, mass profession where there's 50 plus thousand of them out there, right? Now, I love my teachers. I love law enforcement. I love all those things. But teachers and law enforcement have, like, special days. Right. We celebrate, we actively try to celebrate them, and they work in communities. I always make it a point to shout out truckers. Y'all, our society would go to straight Hades if we did not have truckers. There's always a trucker shortage. They've been hearing for 5 years now they're going to be replaced by robots. They just get crapped on all the time. And we have this metropolis gas station, its own city. Looks like it was made during the Jetsons era of television. You got this place called Bucky's where they got the chopped barbecue sandwiches and then the bathrooms and all of that. They'll let a freaking field trip bus of 30 AAU baseball players that smell like straight ass. They'll let them in. But they won't let one single trucker in. It says no 18-wheelers. So why would you deny, if you are the best convenience store, why would you deny the person that needs the convenience store the most? All right? It's a trucker. So in order for me to consider you a gas station, you've got to have diesel. All right? You've got to freaking have diesel. If you don't have diesel, you're not a true gas station. I'm sorry. All right? You can either be a mom and pop or you can be a Bucky's or whatever. Y'all do not understand. Like, I understand. And here's something else about a teacher or, you know, a law enforcement officer or whatever. Like, whenever you're driving on the road, there is never an instance where you're excited to see a trucker unless you ask him to blow the horn. Every time you see a truck, you're like, God, look at this. I don't want to sound like Snow like John, but shout out to you, Devin. Look at this mother effer. And of course, Pegasus had to be a jerk and say, Carter, you know there is a National Trucker Day. Well, there's a national day for everything. When I used to do radio, I would do that at the end of all my weather forecasts that they would make me do. And because, you know, my bosses at the time were assholes, they made me stop doing it. So yes, there is a trucker day. There's a day for everything. There's a left toenail day. Everything's got a day, all right? But when is the last time you've ever seen anyone post on Facebook, National Trucker Day, let's celebrate Ralph, who weighs 300 pounds, has bad blood pressure, but keeps our society moving on, you know, a 12-hour drive from Phoenix to Sacramento. You know, we have got as a society to praise and thank our truckers. Don't do it enough. So I'm very happy that Pate State Authentic doesn't put the freaking Bucky's on there. F Bucky's. F it. All right. Do I still go and spend a lot of money in Bucky's? Hell yes. Is it awesome? Yes. Do I think the barbecue sandwiches are a little overrated? I do. But it is a great experience. The Buck Nuggets, all of it, cool. But you got to take truckers. All right. But to me, the best gas station on here is Love's. Love's is the best gas station. Are the other three fine? Actually, yes. But I'm telling you right now, I have multiple photos of this on my phone from multiple different days. And my wife actually tried to get some of this for me for Christmas. This is why Love's is going to win. And Pate liked my tweet on this, all right? Y'all haven't experienced heaven until you try that Love's Cherry Hand Soap. Now, sometimes they don't have it in the Love's, okay? There is a Cherry Hand Soap. All right, so Coach Smith knows. He says, I'm a trucker for 20 years. All right, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. The Cherry Hand Soap that you wash your hands with that Love's is heaven. It's not even really soap. It's like a cherry granular mixture. And you have a bunch of beads on your hands as you wash. And it's for heavy duty, hardworking men like myself. No, I'm not that at all. But once you have that cherry soap, you are going to want to only stop at Love's. So I'm not going to lie. I love Love's. Now, I can also be bought. I have got bills to pay. So if any gas station wants to sponsor my show, feel free to fire up and join me. But Coach is right. Loves is a trucker's mall. But what do I know? I love Loves. I just do. Never really had a bad experience there. Never. One time I did a Loves rant. I used to do a joke about Buc-ee's and the trucker stuff. Okay. And I'll be real with you. And by the way, Trent Medine, if you have a question, feel free to fire it in. I appreciate you again. Okay. Andy got a photo. All right, let's see. We'll blow it up, man. I've changed my avatar, obviously, to smaller. So let's welcome Andy to the channel. I got to show Andy some love. Oh, my God. I thought, honestly, from afar, because this is so small, I thought it was you with the kids, but it's three lovely little ones. That's great, man. That is awesome. So welcome in, Andy. We got a really great community. I appreciate you supporting us. And, I know it's cliche, we're a big family or whatever. You know, I'm not going to, most of you are close to your family. I'm not going to say that, but people say it themselves naturally, the PHL fam. And, that is you. Okay, Shorty. I should have known. I was like, wait, Trent Medine. I was like, I know I've talked to Trent. You got to change your name to Epic Shorty, though. You got to write Epic Shorty every time. Because as much as I love your name, Epic Shorty is just better. And by the way, if you're at the spring game, you got to sit with me and Epic Shorty and Dex and the whole crew. But I'm telling you, Loves is elite. It is. But that new Rustin quick trip, if you're in North Louisiana, it's a nice little quick trip right there. Now, I've gotten a few texts. Carl, what happened to you? Because I started the show like a really sad news. I am not ready to talk about this publicly. I don't know if I ever will. But it was just pray. Like, I don't try and get too religious. We got people of all religious backgrounds. Or if you don't pray, that's perfectly fine as well. Hug your loved ones. That's all I got to say. It is insane. So I'll say it for the third time. There was something very tragic that happened to a friend of mine. That I just learned about, a college friend. And then, right before the stream started, my best friend who moved to Egypt got married and had his first child, and he sent it to me, my best college friend. And, when your best college friend lives in Egypt, it's hard to talk. And I was like, dude, this is insane. So hug your loved ones. That's all I got to say, man. I've been on, and I know this is an escape from your daily lives. Today was a spectrum. Today was the biggest spectrum of emotions that I've experienced. Now, before I answer a few more here, all right, I am not a big YouTuber. All right. I just am not. Like, I'll never be Mr. Beast or something like that. And I don't know if I want to, but I have seen an uptick, and maybe it's just delusion, but these latest videos didn't do as well. But if you go to Power Hour NFL, as you can see, I'm churning out a lot of film studies, and I'll keep churning them out. I'm going to ride this wave. So 17K on Jaden Daniels film study, 6K on JJ McCarthy, nearly 10 on Spencer Rattler, 5 on Anthony Richardson. I'm hoping the algorithm picks Drake May, Michael Penix, and Sean Payton. So please go subscribe to Power Hour NFL. It is hard to make money on YouTube. I'll just put it at that. So, you know, check it out. Subscribe. It's free. Also, join our Patreon. Once again, everyone that signs up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail. I'll always do that. Yeah, please do, Shorty. Make sure you put it in the bio. Shorty. God. You can't beat that era, bro. Mac, you're the man. Mac actually was the first commenter on one of my NFL videos. What was that? That was Bo Nix. Y'all, Bo Nix looked pretty solid. Okay. Yeah, Caleb's just good, man. I mean, you know, if you don't think that's going to work out with freaking Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and a decent offensive line and decent running backs and decent tight ends, it's kind of hard for me to not see this working for him. But I'll also say there's not been a bad performance from any rookie QB. It really hasn't. You know, Michael Penix, I thought, looked bad, but on my film study today, the same receiver was dropping. And one thing I find to be interesting, and I do want to shout this young man out, because no one talks about him anymore, which is probably how he likes it. He's a low-key guy. Dre Jenkins might make the Steelers this next year, and he be reunited with Patrick Queen. Dre Jenkins has made a few plays. All right. Show some love to the trucker. Did Sean Payton underachieve at the Saints as the Saints coach? So, like I revealed, I actually spent a month and a half working on a like hour-long video. It was a documentary on Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Like, not so much a documentary, but my commentary on how the whole era played out. And I'm pushing it to next offseason. It's a better offseason story. So I got an hour worth of footage on like this long timeline. And I am a huge Drew Brees fan. I might be a bigger Sean Payton fan because that's how much I freaking love his genius. There is no doubt in my mind that he overachieved. And I know technically that doesn't sound right because if you have, you know, a top five passing yard leader of all time, you would like to have two Super Bowl appearances, but we know about Drew and Sean's playoff luck. So Sean Payton did overachieve. And I still think he's good. Who do I think will be the best QB out of this rookie class? I'll be as direct as I can. It's going to be Jaden. Is there some homerism in there? Sure. Now, I hate it when analysts don't at least admit that it's a tiny parcel. But you guys all like to be objective. And we know that Jaden is not complete yet as a quarterback. It's going to be Jaden Daniels, though. It's going to be hard versus Caleb Williams because Caleb's situation is just going to be so much better than Jaden's for at least 2 or 3 years, right? Like, DJ Moore is still, like, relatively young, and Roma Dunze looks pretty solid. But, you know, I one thing I'll say about the rookie quarterbacks is, yes, football is all about your dudes. It really is. More so, though, on the college and high school level. In the NFL, there are so many really good teams, and everything is so even now in the league. I just think coaching matters so much more in the NFL, like the play calling and all of that. And when you look at the rookie quarterbacks who landed with the best play callers, well, it was J.J. McCarthy and who's the other one I'm thinking of? I would say JJ. I would just say JJ McCarthy. Oh, Bo Nix. That's what I was drawing a blank. All the other ones are in like weird kind of play calling situations, right? Caleb might have a lame duck coach that's going to work against him. Jaden has kind of a rushed put together coaching staff. Drake May has a first year head coach who's never called plays before. So, actually, no, Mayo did. Did Mayo call plays defensively? I'm drawing a blank. So, there you go. And JJ McCarthy did get hurt today. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. I don't think it's that big a deal. They're going to play Sam Darnold because he's been that good in camp. But if you have Justin Jefferson's so good. He can make any – Justin Jefferson was making Nick Mullins look good. But I love that Viking setup. Chance, you've asked me this a lot. Now, I still love some KJ. The thing about KJ is now he's with my favorite non-LSU coach in Gus. I'm a big Gus guy. I've the Malzahn tenure is so weird to me because, like, we look back on it. It was really good. Malzahn tenure was really good at Auburn. That was when a national championship with Nick Marshall at quarterback. Nick Marshall. And every single year, Gus Malzahn was on the hot seat. Like, legit hot seat. And I was like, what? Wait, Gus? Gus, who's beaten Alabama multiple times? Is that Gus Malzahn? Gus Malzahn, who almost beat 2019 LSU, a true freshman, Bo Nix? All right, we'll take a few more. Yeah, I heard RBs. You can overcome that, but Baxter's good. Obviously, Ruby Owens is good, and they lost the other young player. Your friend asked you who's the best defensive player LSU faced the last 10 years. I say Quinnen Williams, Derrick Brown, or Jalen Carter. Okay, last 10 years. So the honest truth would – I was going to say Patrick Willis, but that's 2000, late 2000s. Okay, I'm actually going to give you a different answer here. He's not the best player that LSU has faced, but the most impactful LSU defender that they have ever faced was Dallas Turner, who ironically also went to the Vikings. Dallas Turner might have played the three best games of his career, all versus LSU. You know, you go back to true freshman season, we were down 20-14, driving to win the game. Dallas Turner, sack. Then Max Johnson threw a really good Hail Mary, final play of the game, and it wouldn't have counted because Cam Wire held Dallas Turner. So he made two ridiculously big plays, and he made some other plays in the game as a true freshman in their biggest game of the year at that point. Then we go to a sophomore season where he had a really nice cover check on Jaden Daniels and almost hurt him. He also had a late hit on Jaden or early in that game. He had a roughing penalty early in the game. And he also made a few other plays in that game. So he was impactful then. And then last year, he knocked Jaden Daniels out. But even outside of that, he was unblockable. I thought Will overall in that game was fine, but there were a lot of instances where Jaden really had to hold on to it and then take off, and he drew some holding penalties. So that was a ridiculous three-year run. I can't really think of a defensive player who had three ridiculously good games like he did versus LSU. Now, are there some out there? Yes. No, Derrick Brown is great. You're right on the money. Derrick Brown versus 2019 LSU was ridiculous. I mean, Derrick Brown was putting Damian Lewis on his ass. All right? Damian Lewis is one of the highest paid players in the NFL right now. ironically, they're teammates now. So yeah, I would say Dallas Turner. He's not the best. He's not the best. But the production he had in these 3 years was ridiculous. Now, do I hate the guy? Yes. There's probably not many LSU opponents I hate more than him because he is dirty. He is dirty. But yes. Now, this was an awesome show. Thanks to all our super chats. Let's go to Trent. Okay. Epic Shorty holding it down. I want to shout out Andrew. I want to shout out Julie. I want to shout out Jaren. I want to shout out TJ from earlier. Also Superin. Jared, Roy, Grant, Sibley, Blanche, Alex. Alex, I really appreciate you in the community. All right. Thank you so much. Did we hit the hundo mark tonight? We almost got there. We almost got there if you add in the supers, 20, 40, 50, 57. Yeah, we almost got there. We're about 20 away. About 20 away. So we can fire. If we get another 20 in there, once again, every time we hit 100 in supers, I send an LSU card out. All right. Yeah, Quentin Williams was incredible in his own right. Chris says, yeah. Now, of course, there's going to be a lot of confidence. A lot of confidence. I really want to see a confident special team unit, though. I do. That is true. Jared, this is why I love you so much, man. He says, Carter, you said that we don't celebrate truckers, but we gave them their own genre of hats, okay, because of the trucker hat. Here's my problem with the trucker hat being like a celebration of truckers or named after truckers or whatever, is that when have you ever seen a trucker wear a trucker hat? They do not wear them. Most truckers wear pajama pants, slides, and sandals and have a $250 Bluetooth rig around their face. I mean, you know, I would probably do the same thing knowing how long they have to drive. And going back to the gas station war thing, one thing I can't get myself to do, especially since I'm getting over like a skin itching issue, I've always wanted to take a gas station shower. Always. It is what I want to do. I want to take a nice, hot Love shower. And I remember talking to a Love's cashier. Her name was like Belinda. And she was talking about it, like how pissed she was that Love's raised the prices on their showers. And, you know, inflation's going to inflation. And when you think about the value proposition, if you're a trucker and you really need a shower, what's a few couple extra bucks? And you get unlimited water. The bathrooms are actually kind of clean. I've looked in one before. I was like, I want to get in here. I really, really, really do. Okay. I know someone I know someone that's taken a trucker shower, and he was like, that was the best shower I've ever had. I was like, damn, dude, what is this? The Four Seasons? Dante, I do, but I do think it could be more of like a 60-40, 55-45 split. Pegasus says that's a weird dream. Pegasus, you're a Real Madrid fan. And you're calling me weird. I'd love to see Loves give an NIL deal to Kayla Jackson this season because he's going to be trucking over people all season. Hey, look. Before you get on that I-10 bridge in Baton Rouge, that Loves has spared a lot of people with a clutch piss break. Now, the stop sign situation, for those that know, you turn from coming from Opelousas and going over the new bridge or whatever – as you're pulling into Baton Rouge, that stop sign situation is just disastrous, right? Because you have the right of way taking a left turn. And after all that kerfuffle, you then got to sit in traffic. So it is so smart to just stop at that Love's, get a quick shower if you want to, get you an Arby's sandwich, and tinkle, because you might need it. So you gotta wear shower shoes in the Love's truck stop. No, I'm not wearing shower shoes, man. If I am taking the Love's, I am fully immersing. Pegasus now admits he's a sellout. He was sellout to the Saudis for $300 million a year. I would too. I understand that that's not really a laughing matter and so on and so on and so on. But y'all, if you were an athlete and you were offered $300 million, all right, $300 million a year to go play soccer. Oh, I mean, you would go. You would go. It's just how it is. But I understand why he can always go get that. You know, he knows he can always go get that. And I also think soccer wealth is very different than NBA wealth, because there's just so much less downtime. I mean, you're playing so much soccer, you're playing so much international duty. So I don't think money matters as much to a soccer player as it does other athletes. So, all right, Roy, we'll see you tomorrow. And I am also out. 6 p.m. tomorrow, Tuesdays, Thursdays, 8:15 Central. We'll probably be changing the Thursday time some going into this next year. So there you go. Please go check out Power Hour NFL and make sure you support us. Okay. Twitter, Instagram, all those platforms at PowerHourLSU. Patreon.com/LSU football. A few bucks a month. You get a new film study today on one thing I've noticed about the LSU run game in practice. You get that and you get in my private Discord. So come join us. All right. Special thanks. NoOffseason.com and NOPLD. Appreciate those two wonderful establishments. It is PHL. Boom. And tonight we are doing spaghetti and meatballs. Thank you, Mac. I really appreciate that.